Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I'm broadcasting from Blacksburg, Virginia. Headed tomorrow's Miami, Virginia Tech game, part of our fall football tour, which is brought to you by Grainger. For safety and industrial supplies, Grainger's got your back. Visit Grainger.com. We'll talk some NFL football with Prince Amukamara. Prince, of course, plays Chicago Bears, previously with New York Giants. John Middlecoff will join us. Former scout in the NFL, the host of the Three and Out podcast, Rob Riggle will be our guest. Dude, would we just load up with get back end? I just ask questions. Rob Riggle is going to be our guest. Daniel Jeremiah is our guest. Joel Klatt's our guest. And we got my picks, which have been fantastic in college football. NFL picks are fine. College football picks have been amazing. Simply amazing. No blood last night, right? Because it was a 3-point spread. Is that correct? I do believe I had the Packers straight up, to be honest with you. I had the Packers straight up. And so I lost. Somebody else had the Packers. I think it was Ramos may have had the Packers. Oh, no, it was Music. You had the Packers. But you had the Packers, but there was no blood because you did not say Packers straight up. You just said Packers to cover. So I got your back there, Music. Everybody else, even. You'd only lose the VIG. I lost it all because I put Packers straight up. But it's not out of frustration that I go on this rant. Right? It's not. And it's with full admittance that Ty Montgomery simply takes a knee in the end zone, the Packers are in a different place. If you know, you look at a couple of fumbles, two straight weeks of untimely fumbles, and they had Mason Crosby issues in one of their games, and they got a tie game against Minnesota. Like, you go all these things together. And right now the Packers are looking like a playoff pretender, not a playoff contender. And one that might get the head coach fired. And it's not that the Packers decided to not go for it on 4th-and-2 last night. It honestly is not. And you're like, no, that's exactly why. No. It's honestly, that is not really the reason that head coaching matters. But it does matter because of the answer that Mike McCarthy gave to us. See, Mike McCarthy said that the numbers told him, you know, they went by the numbers. That's by the numbers. Well, that's what the math says. And yet all the numbers guys are like, yeah, we didn't come up with that one at all. Right? Like, no, that's not really actually even close to being accurate. And if you wanted to say that Seattle had already punted twice in the second half, okay. They had scored in their previous drive, a 7-play, 75-yard drive to take the lead. And if you wanted to say that the Green Bay Packers had only managed 8 yards and that not getting a first down at your own 33-yard line was sure death, right? Because now all of a sudden Seattle's already in field goal range and, you know, it's not even best or worst case scenario. A reasonable scenario is they hold the ball for a couple minutes and then they kick a field goal and you're down 6, you got to score a touchdown. That's not a terrible scenario. But if you want to sit there and say, hey, look, we hadn't even moved it yet. We had only scored a field goal in the second half. We didn't feel great about how our offense was playing, and we felt pretty good about our defense's ability to get one stop against the Seahawks. This is just a gut feel thing. This is just me challenging my defense to get a stop, to get the ball back to Aaron Rodgers. If you wanted to go with that, I could go with that. If you wanted to say that the numbers were based upon being at your own 33-yard line, field position-wise, didn't seem like a wise move. But when you say the numbers, you're talking about football analytics. Oh, the numbers. Like, no one's going to check the numbers. Yeah, we're going to check your work. Reminds me of, like, math class. And you just, like, all of a sudden the kid goes from having D's and F's to getting an A. Like, yeah, we're going to do more than just run the Scantron. We're gonna see how you came upon the magic pencil. That's the thing that sets off alarms with the testing folks for the SAT. I don't know if you guys remember this. Like, Derrick Rose famously took his SAT in Detroit, even though he's from Chicago. Couldn't pass the SAT. You know, you couldn't take the SAT in your hometown. Lamar Odom didn't pass the SAT in New York. Then all of a sudden he flies out to Linwood High School in L.A. and magically passes the SAT. Right? Yeah, we're gonna check that one. We're going to have you take the test again. We're going to kind of figure this thing out. It's Mike McCarthy telling us the numbers told him. That's almost like saying just handing somebody a resume and pretending that they're going to skim over it. And you saying you went to Harvard and we're not going to make a call. All we got to do is make one call. Yeah, nobody named Gottlieb went to Harvard. Well, or somebody would name Gottlieb went to Harvard, but not that Doug Gottlieb went to Harvard. It's not one little thing. It's the whole thing. It just is. And is it unfair? Probably. I mean, he told Ty Montgomery. They told Ty Montgomery, under no uncertain circumstances, do you want to bring the ball out of the end zone? He did. He fumbled. And they had pulled Ty Montgomery from the previous series after missing a block that ended up in a sack. They like Aaron Jones, and they've given Aaron Jones the football more here late in the season, but it's not like it's Mike McCarthy's fault that Aaron Jones fumbled in their last game. But he did. It's not like it's Mike McCarthy's fault that a reliable field goal kicker who's been able to kick in terrible weather, torrential rains, and wins as well, Mason Crosby, suddenly has a bad day. But he did. And it's not his fault that the defense can't get one stop or that the offense could only get 8 yards and was on their own side of the football for the 33-yard line. But there just doesn't seem to be a great deal of belief. There just doesn't seem to be a cohesive, coach said it, let's do it. It doesn't feel like it's a marriage that's meant to last. And that's okay. Not every marriage is meant to last. Not every marriage. Maybe the best analogy really for this thing is Mike McCarthy came home late last night and he was like, yeah, you know, I was at Wild Wings. You were? Huh. That's funny. Because I was at Wild Wings and you weren't there. Like nobody's going to check. He leaves credit card receipts all around the place and it does not say Wild Wings. Like, these are things that are not hard to check up on. Saying the numbers told you to punt when it's fourth and two, and you have arguably the best quarterback in the sport, and for my money, the most talented quarterback who's ever played the sport, who can not only get the first down with his arm, can get it with his snap count, with a hard count, and can get it with his legs as well. There are three ways in which you can pick up 2 yards with mostly only Aaron Rodgers. Maybe get a little help from Davante Adams. And yet he chose to punt. And I've sat here and defended conservative-natured coaches in the past. I have. That sometimes you have the feeling, but what I can't defend is this numbers. What numbers, Mike? What numbers? Because all the numbers, guys are like, yeah, that's not actually the way it works. And it feels like a guy who the NFL and the use of analytics and the idea of how to smartly use different times in the game, different down and distances to their advantage, and he hasn't been able to be one step ahead of it. Instead, he's one step behind, and he's claiming numbers support something that they absolutely don't support. I mean, I thought we were going to have Aaron Rodgers score a touchdown and then have Russell Wilson running around trying to make a play, trying to get a last-second touchdown, much like we had last weekend at home against the Chargers, and what we'd likely get in most weekends at home for the Seahawks. That's like how every Seahawk game ends. Instead, Chris Carson gets a first down, and that was that. Don't tell me the numbers support something that it's not hard for us to do the math, and they don't support.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's welcome in a guy who plays defensive back for the Chicago Bears. First place Chicago Bears, Prince Mukamara, joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. If you haven't been following this story outside of Chicago, Cody Parkey's had a great year last year kicking for the Dolphins. He was a big signing for them. And he did miss a kick that could have beaten the Dolphins. Other than that, was having a good year. Had a terrible day on Sunday. And then, Prince, have you seen, I'm sure you know of this, he was kicking at Soldier Field at night one night, and they had local helicopters circling around. You ever seen anything like this before?
No, I have not. But, I mean, it makes sense. The Soldier Field is a difficult field to kick in. And, it's windy. So just to train there and get those reps, I'm sure it's important for him.
Yeah,
and
no, it is. Team. Yeah, no, it's a completely different. There have been guys before that have complained about the footing. What's it like for you to play there in your home games?
I love it. I mean, I think it's an advantage to us if guys are complaining, but I don't have no problem with it, and it's definitely a home field advantage.
Prince Mukamara joined us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. There's so much talk about Khalil and the guys up front. What's your sense of, and you know, he missed a couple of games. You guys performed well without him. When he's back, we saw what he did to Detroit and what he's done to other people. What's this defense like to be a part of?
Man, it's just, I don't know where to start. It's definitely an exciting time. I mean, we finished top 10 last year in defense, and we knew we wanted to take that extra step this year, and then but then with the addition of Khalil, that extra step looked a little bit more promising. And Khalil came back last week. I think he had a two piece. I think he had two sacks, and he's just picking up from where he left off. And I keep telling everybody he really just makes everybody that much better, just because he requires so much attention on the line, and he's getting triple team, double team, so it opens up for everybody else.
On the other hand, is there ever a sense like, look, this is a team that had a successful defense last year, granted different coaching staff with John Fox, and perform well without him? How do you guys not have any jealousy over the attention, and not just the money, but the attention that Khalil gets?
The money. Like I said, I think one thing is that, like, we genuinely, like, love each other as teammates. Like, we hang out during the week, and I think that helps us even become closer together on Sundays or whenever we play. But I think another thing is that everybody is eating. Everybody is making plays on the ball. Like, everybody in our secondary, I think, has a pick. And then I think almost everybody on the line has a sack, so everybody's play is getting elevated. So and the playmaking ability has just been contagious. So we know that it's a team effort, and we're just a group of guys who doesn't care who gets the credit. Like you said in the beginning, like, we're a first team, we're first place in the division, and I think that's what we really care about. We just want to win.
All right, when you see the Packers lose last night, What's the emotions that go through your body?
I don't know what to say. I mean, Green Bay.
Just tell me how you feel. Like, are you sitting there? You want them to lose so that they quit, or do you want them to win so it's more competitive? Like, how honestly do you feel when you watch a team that you're still going to have to play again at Soldier Field, a team you guys were up 17-0 against the first week of the season? When you see them lose, how's it make you feel?
Anytime any of our opponents can get beat in the division, I mean, it's always great. We know what happened the first week, and I mean, we're excited to play them when that day comes. But watching the game against Seattle, I was excited for Seattle to to win, of course.
This is your first chance to see the Vikings this year. First chance to see Kirk Cousins this year. I know you've seen him in the past. You get two games against the Vikings. Prince Mukamara joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Of course, you had a pick last week. And as good as Cousins is, he'll throw one or two a game. You were like, what happened there? When you watch Cousins play, when you watch this offense, what do you see?
Man, I see an offense that's dynamic, and I mean, they love to get the ball to their playmakers, and we know that Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are their guys, and they're going to try to put them in different spots to get them the ball. And Kirk is very, very accurate, and he's the leader of that team, and he's going to try to get them going. So we know, especially as a defensive backfield, we're going to have our work cut out for us trying to guard those guys.
What's the secret to Thielen? Like, how has this guy gone from being undrafted? I mean, he's like an NFL walk-on to being right. One of the top wide receivers in the game. When you watch him, what's the secret to him?
Man, he's just consistent, and greatness is when you do when you're consistent, like, as much as you can be, and he's just been consistent, catching the ball, making plays, running great routes, and he's not backing down. And a lot of great DBs has been guarding him, and he's been excelling. He's been making plays. So yeah, I don't think he could be denied that he's not playing like one of the best wide receivers in the game, because he clearly is.
I don't know how many people have followed the Bears. The first team to take advantage of the NFL's social justice initiative and donate $250,000 plus. 40 players on the roster. Remember, there's only 53 active, but 40 players have joined in to donate $291,600 collectively. Who is it? You? Who's been the guy who's spearheaded this thing? Because you know how it works. When everybody says, I'll donate money, but you need somebody to really get guys. Like, no, dude, you got to put the money in now. We got to get this thing done. Who's been the guy?
Yeah, so I would say a couple of guys. I would say the first thing that comes to my head is Sam Acho. And so Sam Acho, Mitch Trubisky, Akeem, those are the guys who are like, hey, let's be proactive. Let's actually do something and stuff like that. Because it all started when we all decided what we were gonna do for the anthem, and guys said, all right, let's just not show that we're united by linking arms. Like, let's actually be proactive. And then guys are saying, hey, there's this social justice fund, and let's be the first team to do it. And guys just. We just grouped together and we got it done.
It's pretty amazing. Of course, the Bears are going to match the total donation of $311,000 along with additional matching grants from Bears Care and the NFL Foundation. Great stuff you're doing. Hey, listen, continued success and health to you and everyone around you. We really appreciate you joining us. Good luck against the Vikings.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
All right, last night the Warriors played the Rockets. It did not go well. Did not go well for the Warriors. They got blown out by the Rockets. KD looked he looked okay. He had 20. He didn't make a shot. I mean, part of what people are missing, and I've heard many of my media brethren say, like, well, see, this just shows Steph Curry's more important to this team. He's better than Kevin Durant. Like, no, he's not. Steph Curry has moments where he's better and moments where he's worse. He's not as consistently as spectacular, and he doesn't affect the game nearly as much at both ends of the floor as Kevin Durant is. And I think Steph Curry's amazing. He's been a two-time MVP, including a unanimous MVP. But what we have to realize is the Warriors, by the way, are without two starters. Like, what? Like, yeah, DeMarcus Cousins is going to start for them, and Steph Curry is going to come back. They got two-fifths of their starters. And part of what's happened since their first championship, when they had a very deep and solid bench and kind of perfect pieces that gone together, is they had to dismantle that bench, one, because of age and some evolution, two, because some guys got paid salary-wise, and three, in order to go get Kevin Durant. This is. So You know, I'm sorry. I look and I say to myself, dude, this is really, really, really simple. Really simple. That as much as Durant and his inability to be decisive as to what he's doing or just leave open the possibility of leaving Golden State has allowed all of us to have the conversation, let's not get it twisted. Draymond Green is the problem. Like, Draymond somehow has become this heroic character because he's called out Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant's manhood. And Kevin Durant's like, hey, don't ask me this question anymore. Like, I don't blame him. Personal relationship, I answered as much as I'm going to answer. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this was about Draymond. And Draymond answered for the last time. He even said he didn't take questions. People today are Stephen A. Smith coming after Kevin Durant for saying, hey, don't ask me about that anymore. Draymond Green said, don't ask me about this. I'm not taking any questions. Here's what I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about it. End of story. That was yesterday. And then after the game, they want to ask Kevin KD about it. It's like, we just said we're not talking about it anymore. And then you said, hey, can you talk about it? But this is what Yahoo Insider Chris Haynes had said the response. This is what happened. This is what caused Draymond to get suspended. Get the F out of here. Watch us figure this blank out. Green reportedly called Durant the B word the entire time. Then Green blurted out to Durant something along the lines of, we don't need you. We won without you. Leave. Draymond Green is Denzel Washington. And you're like, okay, you have my attention, Gottlieb. Which version of Denzel Washington is he? Is he Fallen Denzel Washington? Did you like the movie? I love the movie Fallen. I feel like that, Rama, that's an underrated movie. Freaky, scary, but really, really good. Right? There's the version of him, Glory. Oh, he's great in Glory. No. Draymond is Denzel in Training Day. Remember Alonzo, the badass cop, was really on the take and then leaves Ethan Hawke in the hood where he was nearly murdered? Remember that? You remember at the end of the movie where Alonzo, that's Denzel Washington's character, thinks that all these guys in the hood have his back? All of them take care of my business. You're nothing without me. I run this place. I run this hood. And they tell Ethan Hawke's character, go ahead, get lost. We got this. You remember that? That's what it is.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's bring in Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network and also covers the LA Chargers on radio. DJ, let's start with Aaron Rodgers. How much of what went wrong last night is his fault? How much of it is Mike McCarthy's fault?
Well, I would probably put more of it on McCarthy just for the way the offense is geared and the way the offense is set up. But I don't think that Rodgers is blameless, as some would believe. He ran himself into several sacks in that game. Just threw to the ball, man. That's something that frustrates me a little bit when I watch him. And he missed some guys, too. There were some vision things, some things that he missed. So he wasn't playing at his highest level. But if you're going to place more of the blame, if you're going to put a percentage on it, I would put it probably 70% on coaching and 30% on Rodgers. But you know what? If you don't agree with that, we can fight, you know?
Yeah, we can totally fight, but only in person, not in studio. We'll talk trash, you know, behind microphones and be a lot tougher that way. I do think one of the missed stories, because we're so ingrained to talk about Rodgers and McCarthy, I kind of think Pete Carroll's done an amazing job this year, right? Like, they were in those Rams games, right? There haven't been... They were in the Chargers. I know the Chargers, you called it, and they left 7 points on the field with their kicking game, but they did have Russell Wilson with the ball, a chance to tie it up, a ball that was deflected late. Like, considering all of the departures, the dysfunction within the offensive line last year, Rashad Penny taking half a season to come around, all the massive injuries that they've suffered. Heck, you know, Doug Baldwin was hurt in the preseason. Like, they've done a really nice job in Seattle, and they're not terrible.
No, they're not terrible at all, and it's interesting the way they're doing it. You know, look, they're just saying, we're going to run. They know their offensive line cannot pass protect, so instead of beating your head against the wall and wishing and hoping for something that can't happen, they're just running it, and all their play action game is what Russell Wilson does best. So he's not having to throw it a ton, but he's being efficient, hitting some big plays down the field off that play action. Defensively, you know, they primarily rush four guys, they play coverage, they try and keep the ball in front of you, and you saw that pass rush get home, but trying to limit the big plays down the field and then run the football. It's kind of an old school approach. I don't, you know, look, if they were somehow get into the playoffs, I don't think that they would be as dangerous as they were back in the day. But what they're getting out of what they have is, I think it's one of Pete Carroll's best coaching jobs.
I don't think there's any question about it. I agree with you. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's bounce around the NFL a little bit. Does feel like the Cowboys have a shot, right? Falcons are all beat up. They got no defense. Then the Skins come in next week, and the Skins are all banged up defensively. I'm not a big buyer into them. Like, feels like the Cowboys, this is their, the golf expression is moving day on Saturdays. Feels like Sunday's moving day. Either they're going home or they got a shot at this thing. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree with you. I think both Dallas and Philadelphia still have a shot. And when you look at the schedules, I mean, I know you know, Philadelphia's got a tough one this week. I think they'll lose to the Saints. I think they'll lose to the Rams. But the magic number is 9, somehow get to 9 wins, which would mean Philadelphia would have to run the table in their other games. Dallas, their schedule's a little bit more favorable. And Washington's schedule's brutal. I mean, I could definitely see Washington lose their next 3 games, starting with the Texans this week, just because of the injuries they have along the offensive line. So I think it's just going to be whoever can get to that 9-win mark. And the Cowboys, if they use the formula they used last week, which, again, it was their defense just flying around, generate a turnover or two, and then run the ball short in the game, they've got a chance, no question.
Let's get to the Philadelphia Eagles. How can they be fixed?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Timmy Jernigan coming back eventually, I think, will help them a little bit at the line of scrimmage. But, you know, they've had so many injuries on the offensive line. And the secondary, which was on the outside, you know, wasn't playing well before injury, and now you add injury on top of that, and you look at who they have to play. I mean, like I said, I kind of pencil in the 2 losses with the Saints and the Rams. That means they have to be clean. That means they have to run the table on the remainder of their games to get to that 9-win mark. So that's a tough hurdle for them. And they've got some issues they need to address in the offseason. They've got some age there at left tackle with Peters. I think that might be it for him. And they need to get better at corner. They're just not good enough out there. There's too much space.
Okay, let's get to the Saints. Are they, in fact, the best team in football?
I think so. You know, I think so. I think when you look at what they did, you know, what they've done going toe-to-toe with some good teams, you know, look, are they perfect? No. I think with Armstead out and now, you know, with Davenport out for a little bit here, their defensive end, that hurts them along the line of scrimmage. I just think the team is built to win inside that dome. And they've handled their business and won some key road games. It looks like they could be headed towards being in that dome for the playoffs. And I don't see anybody going there and beating them in the playoffs if they have home field advantage.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network, Move the Sticks is the podcast. And there's a local reporter who tracked every one of Tom Brady's passes last week, and it wasn't a good report. It wasn't like he was Tebowing it, but for Tom Brady, It was kind of Tebow-like in terms of his misses, lack of arm strength. How long has this been going? Is this just a one-weekend thing, or has this been going on for a while?
It's tricky because in that game, when you go back and watch it, a lot of his misses, Doug, he's protecting himself. So he's turning his shoulder and just trying to brace for a hit, and he's sacrificing a completion in the process. So when they've heated him up, he's protecting himself. Now, is that something that's, you know, that's going to be an issue for him going forward? That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is he knows his true value to this team. And if they lose a regular season game in the process and he protects himself, then that's probably the smart way to go about doing it. But that is definitely something to keep an eye on because he had a choice. I mean, he had a choice to expose his chest and get completions or tuck his shoulder and protect himself and throw the ball away and miss, I should say, not throw it away. And he chose to protect himself. So it's just something to keep an eye on. That was not something I've seen a lot of this year, but it was definitely the case in that Tennessee game.
Give me your perspective on Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, the defense getting Khalil Mack is dynamic. They're facing off of the Vikings, a pretty good defense when healthy in its own right. Trubisky has some warts in terms of accuracy. He is a really, really good athlete, but they've played a very, very soft schedule. How good is Trubisky?
Well, I think he's playing well. Now, I think there's a lot of things that go into that. I think when you look at the design that they've had is a big part of it. And I think you look at, they've got guys that can win one-on-one now. So he's finding one-on-ones, and he's got guys that are winning. Allen Robinson went off last week. Anthony Miller's a good route runner who generates some space. He's got those backs. You know, Tariq Cohen coming out of the backfield is somebody that can create space. So, you know, at the way the NFL's played right now, Doug, I just feel like you watch teams that are doing well, they find a way to create space. And they do that with play calling, but they also do that with guys that are sudden and guys that can separate. And you see some teams that are struggling, usually you can place the blame in both those areas. So he's playing well, but I think a lot of it has to do with what they've done around him.
That's the voice of Daniel Jeremiah, who covers the L.A. Chargers. I want to ask you about the Chargers. Looks like they're going to get Joey Bosa back, whether it's this weekend or next weekend. That changes them for the better. On the other hand, they lose Perriman, their starting middle linebacker. When last year, when they didn't have him at the start of the year, they were awful. So are they better or worse with Bosa but without Perriman?
Yeah, they're going to be better, you know, just because Bosa's such a game-changing talent. Even if you have him for third downs for a couple weeks, and he's just getting you 12 to 15 snaps, he creates so much value because it's going to free up Melvin Ingram. One-on-one, I'll take Melvin Ingram over everybody he's going to see. So that's going to loosen him up. And then with the injury at the linebacker position, look, Perriman, he's played really well, and they relied on him so much. But I think now they have better depth and better talent up front in front of him. And they've done a nice job. I give Gus Bradley credit. They're just playing dime. He's realized that Adrian Phillips at 210 pounds is a better option than playing, you know, you got Hayes Pollard, who's 235 pounds. So it's been, you know, Pollard will play a little bit, but they've just gone with a better player. Instead of saying, you know what, this guy's got an LB next to his name, this guy's got a safety next to his name, let's just get our best guys on the field. And I'd much rather have a linebacker, basically is what he's playing, and Phillips, who can run and cover all day long. And might, you know, maybe you give up a 7-8 yard run here or there, as opposed to a linebacker who struggles to cover. You get uncovered real, real quick, and you get exposed if that happens.
You used to work in Baltimore in the front office there. What's your sense of what they do this weekend with Flacco banged up?
I think it'll be an audition for Lamar Jackson. I really do. I'll be shocked if it's RG3. This is a situation where John Harbaugh knows he needs to make the playoffs, and if he doesn't make the playoffs, he better at least have generate some excitement. And you know, we'll see if that can work with Lamar Jackson. I'm anxious to just see what the offense looks like with him. But I thought he would get an audition at some point in time this year, and I would imagine if he does play well in this game, I don't know that Joe Flacco would get his job back. Now that's a big if. We'll have to wait and see. But I think we'll get a look at him this week.
Awesome stuff. DJ, by the way, I will be in the booth next to you guys next weekend. So I'll be doing
nice.
The radio. Yeah. So
how was it? How did it go? I know you probably already talked about, give me the cliff notes. How did it go with Baldy last week?
Oh, Baldy was great. I mean, Baldy was so good. I thought I got progressively better. I've listened to some of it, and I walked away thinking I was really bad. Yeah. I don't know how you thought after your first game, doing your first game on radio. I don't know. I felt I was it was such a foreign feeling, and I walked away thinking I got better, but I wasn't that good. And then, but I said, if I get another shot, I know exactly what I need to do and how I can do it. And then I listened to it, and I was like, you know what? It wasn't that bad.
It's
I could still make improvements.
Thank you. So
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was bad. Like I was like, man, I don't want to even listen to it. And then I did Petros and Money. Earlier in the week, and they played some of it, and I was like, that's not bad. That's actually decent.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who listened and was like, no, it was good. And I was like, no way, it was not good. So, but Baldy's the best. I mean, he knows everybody.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He knows everybody. He knows that what's coming before it's coming. He does his homework. He's great to work with. It was amazing. So we'll be there a week from Sunday with Arizona taking on the Chargers. We'll be at StubHub.
I love it, man. Well, I'll tell you what, the press box meal is on me, buddy.
There you go. Thank you. I actually like the little food trucks they have. For people who haven't been to a Charger game, they actually have food trucks inside the stadium. I don't know if they normally have those there for when soccer's there, because I've never been to soccer, but it's actually kind of a cool thing that they have for the Chargers when they play at StubHub. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you, bud.